Okay, welcome back to the Edge Sports Science Podcast. We've been doing a lot around nutrition and you know, sports science more on the physiological side, but today we're taking a right turn into a whole other area of study, and that being leadership. And we have with us today Mr. Ed Paulhill, who's the principal here at the school, but who he has an education degree, but also a master's degree in educational leadership. So he's baked right into the program there. And he himself is an ex-collegiate basketball player from Brent McEwen. And we also have Jason Kurzweil, who is our current athletic director here at the school. Wealth of experience around leading athletic programs at the collegiate level, at the national sport body level with Basketball Canada. He himself is a two-time national champion in collegiate basketball with St. FX. And welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
So we wanted to dig right in. One of the big questions that we at the school obviously are discussing ongoing and have been for years is how does one go about fostering leadership in young people? And we can go at it from the angle of as teachers and coaches, but also as parents. But in order to get there, I think we have to start with from each of you, how would you define leadership in the first place?
Me to go first?
Yeah, I'll start with that.
How would I define leadership? I just think it's the ability to have influence, right? To exert influence over your peers and direct a group of people in a certain direction, or just help them to see what direction they need to go on. So it's the ability to have that influence over people, to me, is the key piece of leadership.
Yeah, let's build on that a little bit, Eddie. I think it's, I look at it as the ability of someone to develop that mission and vision and direction, and then be able to, as you said, have that influence over others to help in an aligned fashion get to that end goal in mind. So, we fortunately have the opportunity to help shape young leaders at our school. It's something that we try to do daily. And I'm just looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah. So Eddie, you right away, you said, like, your first word was ability to, which, and I think, when you look at kind of that field of educational research, there's been a lot of effort to operationalize it, to say what set of skills is leadership. And I may diverge right away, but do you guys see it? Is it a set of skills that you try to develop in people, or is it a mindset, or is it both?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think there are definitely some skills, both hard and soft, that leaders, at least we'll see leaders of adults or leaders of organizations would have, but especially when we're talking about youth, I think there are definitely some skills, and sometimes more on the softer side of things as they're developing some of those harder skills, but that communication, the ability to get their message across, right, or how to deal with some conflict that, again, aren't necessarily hard and fast skills that we're going to learn at school, but kind of maybe learn a little bit more in the playground. So I think there's a little bit of a blend of both, but that mindset piece, I think, is important. Naturally, there will be some kids that like to follow or lean towards followership, and there's some that are going to take that initiative to lead a group.
Yeah. Well, and I think the concept of leader is such a complex and diverse kind of idea,
sure.
Right? Like, there isn't one.
We're taking a 30-minute bite of it, which is right. Nearly enough.
Yeah, there's just so many different aspects, so many different types of leaders that can be successful in different situations, and each situation calls for a different type of leader. So I guess that idea of, I go back to that idea of having influence, like, over whatever that situation is and whatever the group is and all of that, but it's a real complicated concept, yeah. Leadership for sure.
Yeah, and you know what, I thought for a long time of leadership as a set of skills that we have to we can teach kids, we can teach athletes, and then my concept kind of shifted a bit just in the last couple of years, just in my work with the Calgary Flames. I had pretty good vantage to watch some excellent leaders in Michael Backlund. But I would say Watching Chris Tanev every day reshaped my notion of what real leadership is. And it's, would you, like, is he an exceptional communicator? Not really. He's a really quiet guy. Does he provide kind of vision? Not explicitly, but the one thing about Chris that is so striking is he just cares so much about his team, like more than he cares about himself. And you see that in the way he plays, and mm-hmm. you know, dive and throw in his face in front of pucks. But that spirit of that, you know, the I'm a member of a whole that I serve. And I'm going to shepherd and look after and try to lead in the right direction. How do you get there?
So, Matt, I'll ask you a question instead of you asking us the question. See, like, when I was at the University of Calgary leading our Dinos Lead program, so working with upcoming captains, one of the areas we really focus on was values-based leadership. So when you look at that example, do you think that at his core, that putting team before self and valuing others and caring for others would actually be a value that he has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Which then you start to see right away, anytime you're trying to develop values, it starts, you know, from birth. Mm-hmm. So the parent piece of this is so important. I think one of the questions for parents to ask themselves is, am I, you know, as I support my kid in their studies, in their sport, in whatever their pursuits are, am I modeling, you know, the values that are most important to me? Thoughts on, at the parent level, kind of how does someone...
Yeah. I think, it's interesting, right? Like, are you modeling those values? Are you allowing your child the opportunity to learn and grow from situations, even when the adversity is really high, and guiding them through them rather than rescuing them from that, is really important. We've all been guilty of, you know, that's what we're trying to do, save our kids from lots of these experiences. But these experiences provide sometimes the opportunity for leadership to grow if they're managed correctly, reflected on properly, kind of taught through that, right? You know, difficult conversations, having your child be able to have those difficult conversations with coaches, with teachers, with whatever, and guiding them through that. Sometimes you got to step in and help out, but not rescuing them from that, because those opportunities are golden if they're managed properly and reflected on properly.
Yeah, if they're managed properly, reflect on properly,
right.
Like all caps, you know, stars there, because I think, you know, one of the mistakes that's made is people say, I'm going to put my kids in the sport so they develop leadership.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen automatically. And, you know, because they can learn to make excuses. They can learn to blame. They can learn to lash out. I wouldn't put those on my list of, you know, attributes of,
but great, of a leader. But great petri dish, because adversity's baked into the experience, right? And that's why I think this whole idea of, like, teams not losing and these youth teams being like 47-0 isn't necessarily the best kind of model to develop in that. But in sport, there's an opportunity for them to deal with adversity. And again, if you manage it and reflect on it properly and lead them through it, because the rest of the world, in some cases, sometimes it's not as, that adversity's not as baked in, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
To me, it opens up that conversation around when you're looking to put your child into youth sports, to really do your homework and really try to figure out what organization you do want to, empower or align with to help develop your child. So there's work that you need to do up front to go, okay, do my values, go back to values for a second, do my values align with that club or that school's values? And then there's, by extension, you're hoping that that coach who is partnered with that organization has those same values, or at least there's some alignment. Know what you're getting into, because coaches can play such a vital role in that mentorship and leadership development piece, that if there is alignment, I think there's going to be, you know, a great opportunity for a parent, coach, and young student to work together to develop those leadership opportunities or the leadership skills. But if we get into a situation where values aren't aligned, and maybe it's winning at all costs, or it's, you know, we want to celebrate, we want to have like the ugly side, we don't care if we win 47-0, or, you know, we've gone 47-0, we're going to put all our eggs in that basket. We're missing out on significant opportunities for leadership growth there, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of going back to that kind of parenting idea, you know, because there's, like you said, doing the research, find out like what the coaches, what the organization is all about to see if it does align with your values. But also, I do some presentations on sport parenting, and one of the things that I think is maybe the best piece of advice that, you know, a parent can be given is, once your kid is on a team, be a fan of the whole team. So, you know, obviously you're going to take a real interest in what your kid's doing out there, but as soon as you say, okay, now this is my kid's team, I'm going to cheer for every one of those kids. I'm going to get to know their names. And on the car ride home, some things I'm not going to do, I'm not going to say, well, you shouldn't be playing with that kid on your line, and that kid was terrible today, and these are the reasons why he lost, and it wasn't you. It goes back to always wanting to rescue our kids.
Right.
But I think if you want your kid to care deeply about their team, their community, their class, whatever it is, you have to model that. That has to be, again, baked into your discourse when you're talking about them in their sport.
Sure. And like a big part of leadership is having tough conversations sometimes. And so kids have to have that. So again, if the car ride home is, you know, son or daughter, like, oh, the coach, blah, 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 and you're jumping on just saying, oh, yeah, that coach doesn't know what they're doing, as opposed to, hey, you know, if that's how you're feeling, like, maybe you can have a conversation with the coach. Here's how you could do it. Here's how I could coach you through it. Maybe, you know, after you've had a conversation, we might have a conversation together to figure out how to manage through that, rather than kind of, in one way, rescuing them from that and just saying, oh, that coach, that teacher doesn't know what they're doing, that you're rescuing them from that situation where they could kind of learn to have that tough conversation, which as future leaders is really critical for them to be able to do in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, I think the magic's in the debrief, right? Like, you mentioned the idea that, like, you have to put them in, you know, kind of competitive and conditions and conditions that are stressful and where there's adversity that they're going to have to face, like you said, perfect petri dish to learn leadership. But then, of course, they're going to make mistakes, which is, you know, maybe the most important part of learning.
Or others are going to.
Right. And but, you know, it's interesting because sometimes parents, you know, if you see mistakes being made and then you point that out and want to discuss it with the group, they'll be upset. They'll wish that it was dealt with more discreetly or more one-on-one. But, you know, if it's a team of 20, they probably could benefit a lot from that conversation, from that teachable moment.
It's like, goes back to, you know, I forget, somebody said this a lot smarter than me, right? We don't learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on experience. That piece is really critical, right? Just have the experience, but the real learning is thinking about it, talking about it, processing it, you know, having those conversations around it. Same for kind of leadership opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. Got to get the reflection, the debrief, all of that is, you know, really critically important.
Yeah. Let's get into the weeds a little bit, because you guys both do a lot of work, like, with Skyview, but also, like, day to day, you know, in the trenches with the kids. If a kid has made some bad decisions and maybe was leading the wrong way, now they're sitting in front of you in your office, you're having that conversation. Just map that out for me. What do you ask? What do you tell? How do you guide them towards the formation of better decisions as they move forward?
I'll start, Eddie. You can build on this. I mean, to me, conversation I'll have is generally going back to what the standards are for that team. So there have to have been, so to get there, there have to have been standards that were established by the coach and hopefully by the players as well. And so it's then sitting across the table with a young student athlete saying, okay, well, where did we fall short in this situation? So learn a little bit more about their thinking behind what happened. And then ask them point blank, like, is that in line with the values of the team or with the standards of the team, and see what they, allow them an opportunity to reflect on that and see if they can come up with where they maybe fell a little bit short, or perhaps ask them as examples of other teammates that have done well to hold that standard, and what can you do to mimic this person or this person. But I think that would be the long and short of it for me, is going back to those team standards and saying, hey, where did we fall short this time? Walk me through that. And then how next time when you're in that same situation, can you approach things a little bit differently? Or how can you help a teammate who may be falling short of a standard through that same type of kind of discussion?
Right. So in essence, kind of having them kind of reflect on or remember north on their compass.
Yeah, for sure.
And then kind of couch what just happened relative to those standards, mm-hmm. to those directions.
Well, like, every situation is obviously very different, and situations that I've dealt with kind of over 25 years in education, very different. But what I try to do always is start with kind of a seek first to understand kind of mentality, because often there's more to the story than what you've heard. Like, let the kid have an opportunity to say, hey, this is from my perspective, what I saw, what I felt, what I heard, why I did this. Like, oftentimes they'll kind of come to that lesson on their own as well, which is really kind of, like, they know our North Star as an organization. They usually know the team or the class's North Star. They usually know, you know, hey, I strayed from that. And then, you know, when you get them to that spot, it's just like, okay, now here's how we're here to catch you and to help you, but also to guide you a little bit so that we don't go down this path again. Again, depending on the situation, sometimes there's conversations that have to happen with, you know, their coach or their teacher, or get their parents involved. But it's just always the sort of danger of one side of the story. Like, the situation's been presented to you, I always want to know what's the kid's perspective on this, right? Because it's pretty important, the mindset that they're coming into that with, or their reality in the situation that was kind of handed to them.
I think in both those approaches, you can actually, that's where you can, if a young student athlete is showing kind of an area of growth or some skills that haven't been fully developed yet, that's an opportunity to have. So, okay, what skill can we learn here that might, so maybe it is having a difficult conversation now with a teammate. You've been avoiding that conversation, and that's led to the standard not being met on the team. But how can we equip you with those skills? Let's talk through what that might look like, give you some tips so that you can go and have that difficult conversation with your teammate or your coach, or even maybe sometimes your parent. Mm-hmm. So it does open up that opportunity to kind of reinforce and learn a little bit more about where we can help develop the child.
Yeah. Well, just reassembling the narrative of what actually happened,
right,
with some clarity, and then being able to, you know, apply the overlay of our values and making sure that, you know, there's alignment there. Like, that's a skill in itself, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, when those perspectives on it, like, the, you know, the coach or teacher or parent or whoever is kind of making the referral to me to say there was something wrong here that needs to be addressed, that perspective is important. But it's also important to understand it from the other. Like, every situation has, like, you know, and sometimes dealing with teens and young people has 1,000 different points of view, which are all critical to kind of coming together. So that kind of seeking first to understand about every situation. I guess the same would go, you know, for parents when your kids come home with one side of the story, it's important to kind of get the other side of the story as well. Their perspective and how they felt and what they heard is really critical, but it's also important to get some other perspectives in that too. So you can effectively kind of instill some leadership in the student moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, and that I think casts a light on a whole other side of leadership. You know, there's the kind of guiding, directing, being a voice, standing up and saying what needs to be said for the good of the whole group. But you mentioned, you know, seeing the other side, understanding perspective of others, and then, so now we're getting to the empathy piece.
Really important, yeah.
You know, so, which I think, at least my perspective is, I think that dimension of leadership is probably grossly kind of under-taught. Where, you know, it's
undervalued.
Where it's not about just kind of pushing the group in the right direction. It's also an awareness, paying attention, seeing and like an trying to understand the perspective of each member of that group. Because there's often the ones that we view as leaders are the ones that, you know, they're more extroverted. They're more talkers. They're comfortable having some voice. But some of the best leaders are the ones that they sit back, they assess, they pay attention, and they know who's hurting or who's lost or who's thinking about making a bad choice, and then quietly and often without much credit, they have those little conversations in behind that usually start with demonstrating some understanding of what that teammate is feeling.
Yeah. Or it goes back to your Chris Tanev example. You describe someone who cares. Mm-hmm. Right, and has that empathy and the understanding, and does get to know people on a human level. And I do think that that's a core kind of tenet of leadership, is getting to know the people around you, getting to know the people that you are leading. And I would say even for a youth, that's really important. Those relationships are vitally important if they're looking to influence others. It becomes a lot easier when you get to know more than just what that person can do on the court or on the ice or on the field, but what actually makes them tick.
And I just thinking about the time when Chris Tanev was with the team, there, you know, as there always are, there are lots of little times when someone would be struggling with something away from the rink, and I would have a conversation with them, and that what seemed to be part of every one of those conversations was, Tanny's been great. Like, Tanny reached out to me right away. Mm-hmm. And it just, again, it shows that, you know, sometimes the quietest ones are the ones that just see more. They're paying attention more.
They're listening.
They're tuned in. They're listening, which.
That relational approach to leadership is critically important. For me, when I think about the great coaches, teachers I've had, it's always been about connection. I mean, it's a human condition. We want to connect, right? Mm-hmm. And the great leaders do that. I guess I'll go back. Who's the greatest leader? What's the greatest? Well, it's a whole bunch of different things. I think those people are the ones that recognize what's needed in the moment, in the situation. And what's needed, you know, here is a soft touch. And what's needed here is like, no, we need a little bit of a push here. And being able to flex and flow in between that. And a part of being able to do that well is being able to create good relationships and connections and be empathetic and to sit back and observe and go like, okay, I know, you know, what you need right now in this situation, because I know something that's going on or whatever, and I know what you need right now, and I know what the group needs, and all those things could be very different. And I mean, that's a lot to ask from people, but the really good people just do that like seamlessly and interchangeably, and can really understand that it comes from empathy and relationships for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's, if there's one direction that this next generation would benefit the most from educationally and in sport and you know, whatever the arena, it is just the development of empathy, just that paying attention to and taking the perspective of someone else.
Definitely. And coaches too, like, you know, there isn't just one way. It isn't just, I just got to grind and, you know, make them afraid. And you know what I mean? Like that's important for probably all of us to learn as leaders, coaches, kids, like all of us, right? That will be enduring with all the change and all the things that are happening in the world. We're never going to get away from the human connection and the need to be relational and the need to have empathy. That's part of being a human, right?
So I would say that most of our kids, especially as athletes, most of them more visual kinesthetic than auditory. And so the conversations that we have with kids, more auditory learning, you know, that's valuable in this process. But I would argue that our kids learn more by watching than listening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are the things that you guys try to model and try to encourage our leaders, our coaches, and captains, and the rest of it to do for others to see?
I mean, for me, it's the connection piece, right? Like, people ask me what I do. Well, I walk around the school and hand out high fives and fist bumps, right? Like, that's huge to be present and to be connecting with kids and to be asking, like, just that connection piece, modeling that that I care, I see you, how's it going, how's the weekend, how was the game, what's going on, how's your brother doing, how's your sister doing, I haven't seen them for a while. Like, just that connection. I try to model that ability to connect with people, because I think that's the foundational kind of piece of all of the rest of it. And then just being here to like have an open door and to listen and to sometimes just be a voice. And hopefully, you know, students know that they can come in here and we can just talk and I can just listen. You know, I don't have to necessarily dole out advice, but just hear them. So to me, it's like that connection and just being here to listen. And that's, I guess, the empathy side of things on the listening.
We're probably pretty aligned on that one. I'll just sum it up by saying I really look for our coaches to create safe spaces, right? We talked about those learning opportunities. So if they can create an environment where student athletes can come in and experiment and try to learn. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, preteens and teens at our school all the time. So for them to have a place to come in and where it's okay to fail and learn from those failures, I think is extremely important. But it also allows us to have those important and challenging conversations. So that's one thing that I'd want our coaches to ensure, that they're creating that environment where it's a safe space. That psychological safety to me is extremely important.
Yeah. Well, and that's a conversation that you can engage them with, you know, with a team. Like, yep. What are the things that allow you to feel, you know, safe to walk, you know, yep, through these doors, and safe to make mistakes and safe to put yourself out there and try stuff. You know, because in the heat of the moment, often we, you know, we'll react to someone, you know, in an emotional way that can actually cause them to be less apt to try things, to put themselves out there, to risk making a mistake. So yeah, important conversation.
You talked about like kids being better kind of kinesthetic learners than audiovisual. Like kids won't often remember what you say. Like, you know what I mean? You can say, you can talk, and you can say, here's what you need to do, but they'll always, always remember how you made them feel, and that emotional piece of it that will never be gone. So to Jason's point, if they feel safe, they feel supported, they feel cared for, but they also feel like they're given an opportunity to like push themselves a little bit, right? Not that you're just gonna rescue them from everything. Kids actually like that. They need that feeling of like, okay, I'm going to be challenged here, right? But you know, that just that, you know, that safe space goes back to that, I guess.
It obviously all of this kind of overlaps with the development of character, which, you know, which we'll talk about on another podcast. But but I remember there's a definition that I love, which is, you know, character is taking full responsibility for one's own life. And that idea of responding to things in a way where you take ownership, you know, yourself and you don't blame, and you don't externalize it, that to me is one of the things that's, you know, the essence of leadership as well.
Well, if you, like, you know, you talk about that sort of, I mean, what you're talking about is like an internal locus of control, right?
Yeah.
And when you take that on, then you have some power. If you're pointing outward all the time and blaming or saying it's someone else's fault, you lose all your power and ability to change it, right?
Absolutely.
So you're giving all of that away. But if you put that on yourself and you say, okay, here's some things that I can do. And that doesn't mean like you're self-blaming all the time.
Right.
It's just like you're reclaiming your own power over the situation or over whatever it is and giving yourself an ability to have a fighter's chance coming out of it, right?
Yeah.
That's really important.
Well, that leadership of self before leadership of group, I think, is something that is extremely important. I'll just go back to that values piece. The more you understand yourself and what you bring to the table, and that you can get behind your own values and stand firm with those, the better chance you're going to have to help lead a group forward as well.
Well, I mean, because to your point, like, psychologically speaking, you know, the best formula to make someone, you know, kind of depressed and you know, anxious, is to get them to pay most of their attention to things they can't control.
Right? Yes, right.
You know, so I think sometimes we want to rescue kids and like, this, you know, this was this person's fault, and then it was the reffing, and it was this, and we're trying to rescue them. But what we end up building in them is that external locus of control. It's looking outside of themselves rather than inside, to see how they can have some agency. And then guide others.
Yes.
In that endeavor.
Totally. It's interesting kind of dichotomy there, right?
Yeah. So we're kind of at, I mean, we talk all day about this, almost kind of out of time. Last words, if there's kind of a single piece of advice that you would give kind of parents or coaches that you think is vital to fostering developing leadership, what would it be? A hard question, but pick one thing.
You know, I'll go back to what Jason said earlier on, like, put them in those situations where they're going to be impacted by people, organizations that are values are aligned, that you know are going to challenge them. Don't put them somewhere where they're not going to be challenged and they're just going to be able to be free of all kind of negative. Like, put them in situations like sport with caring adults working on it, that will give them that opportunity with leaders who are shining examples of all those things. Because as you said, you know, it's what they see, not what they hear, right? Like, you can, as a parent, you can say whatever you want, but they're going to follow what you do. Same as a coach, same as a whatever. So put them in those situations where there's going to be positive leaders and don't be afraid of adversity.
Yeah. I'd say model the behaviors that you'd want young people to demonstrate. And the second one is, don't be afraid of finding not just one experience or two experiences for your children or for youth. Find a wide range and have them learn from different adults, have them learn from different mentors. Give them those experiences where they actually have the opportunity. So we're saying, you know, you can learn some leadership skills here at Edge through your participation in sport and extracurricular activities. Go take that and apply it now as a summer camp counselor. So find those ways to actually take what you've learned and implement. And I think for, especially with some of our student athletes who are so focused on achieving that next level of sport, we sometimes take away some of those or just don't have opportunities to be engaged in other experiences. And I think it's really important to kind of develop that whole leader and sense of self to have other opportunities outside of sport to be able to implement those.
Yeah. Well, and for my own part, if you accept my kind of definition of leadership, that it's, the essence of it is caring deeply about something that's bigger than yourself, then model that for your kids. Yeah. Like, you know, when they see you behaving in a way that's, you know, the selfless and is sacrificing something of yourself for the greater good, they'll see that, they'll notice that, that'll become normal for them. But also when you see those kinds of selfless and sometimes very kind of sacrificing behaviors, but also sometimes just taking the courage to stand up and say the thing that's not popular but needed to be said. Celebrate those moments. Give pats for those things. Make sure it doesn't go unnoticed because you want them to feel good about those behaviors. Thanks very much again. Like we said, we could talk all day about this, but hopefully some ideas that any parents and coaches and kids can glean from our conversation today. This will be, as always, we'll go offline and continue to talk about this every day, but happy that you guys could to come on and give everyone a glimpse into this dialogue.
Awesome. Thanks, Brownie.
Thanks, Matt.